Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. As always, thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And as you know, this is Sunday, so we will be in Psalm, Proverbs, and the New Testament book of Matthew. And of course, today we will be in one of my favorite chapters of Matthew, which is Matthew chapter 6, where we will talk about and pray the prayer of our Father, the Lord's Prayer. So I'm excited about that this morning. And the word that God gave me was, the Lord knows all your needs. Don't worry, just pray. Hallelujah. The Lord knows all your needs. Don't worry, just pray. And so many times we get into that worry wart mode where we worry about everything and pray about little or nothing. So we got to stop worrying and just pray. Father God in heaven, we come to you in prayer this morning on this wonderful day, a new day, Lord God, on this ninth day of the month. We come to you, Lord God, lifting up the name of Jesus and thanking you, Lord, for the sacrifice of your holy Son, your only Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord God, we ask you to increase as we decrease. Father God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength and my redeemer. And I cannot do anything without you. Father God, I lift up today our planet, asking you, Lord God, to lead us and guide us in the best way to take care of it as we take care of everything that you have given us, oh God. We ask you, Lord God, to watch over those that are sick and shut in and in need, oh God. We're asking you, Lord God, to heal this awful plague called COVID, Lord God. Tell us what we must do to be saved. In the name of Jesus, Father, I lift up this word again, thanking you, praising you, giving you honor and giving you glory. For Lord God, as Jesus taught us to pray in our word today, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In Jesus' name, again, amen. Thanking God again this morning for his great word, for his Son, for the Holy One, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I give thanks to the Most High God, who is, again, the source of my strength and the strength of my life. So let's get into our word this morning. And thank you again, family, for listening in. Again, moving forward is a Bible reading blog. We read the word. I read the word, but I'm always looking for readers, especially King James readers. So if you know anyone that loves to read the Bible, have them call 213-943-3597 and their lines will be open to read the word to the masses, for that is what we do. We are a Bible study, Bible reading, Bible teaching, blog talk show. So I thank God again for this assignment. And our main goal is to read the Word of God in 1 year. So we will read the Bible in 1 year. And I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And I am excited because it is a great word. The Word of God is the best word you could ever read. It's epic, if you want to say that. It's the best book I've ever read. It has everything you want to look at. It's in the Word of God. Anything you want to know, it's in the Word of God. Anything futuristic, it's in the Word of God. History, his story, it's in the Word of God. Whatever you need, it's in the Word of God. Whatever you pray for, it's in the Word of God. You name it, it's probably in the Word of God. So let's get started in the Word of God. And the Word of God in Psalm chapter 4 says, starting at verse number 4, it says, be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Can we say that again? Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show up, show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season of their grain and wine and wine increase. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Woo, what a word. I want to read that again. Be angry and do not sin. Because we know we all can have a moment. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Our mind's going 50, going 30, and we need to calm it down. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness. And put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increase. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Hallelujah. Psalm chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. To the chief musician with flutes and a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Oh, what a word. Oh, Lord, thank you. What a word. verses 8 through 12 of chapter 5 of the book of Psalms. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsel in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you define them. Let those who also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. Hallelujah. That's a highlightable. Let's go back and read that one more time, starting at verse 11. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those who also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. What a word. Thank you, God. And again, life lessons, life questions, life principles will all be at the end of the show today. We're just getting wordy this morning. And then we'll get in the other things at the end. And Proverbs chapter 2, and it says, my son, if you receive my word and treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And I want to read verse number 3 one more time. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. And then verse number 5. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. We got to fear and find God. Discernment. Ask God for it and watch him work in your life. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Highlightable. One more time. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, this word is so good this morning. Verses 10 through 22 of Proverbs chapter 2. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. And I'm going to read that again. Verse number 10. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their path, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the path of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. Whew, what a word. Thank you, Father God, for this Old Testament word of Psalm and Proverb. Psalm and Proverb. We thank you, Father God. And we're going to go back and get some life lessons and a life principle from Psalm. In Psalm chapter 4, verse 7 says, you have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. And this is a commentary from Dr. Stanley, and he says, the joy of the Lord is a supernatural thing, deeper and stronger and tougher and more resilient than any joy derived from mere circumstances. Those without it cannot understand it. We need to help them experience it for themselves. And we want to experience the gladness of God. We want to know, he says, you have put gladness in my heart. That can only come from God. We got to ask God, Lord, give us joy. Give us peace. Give us the love that can only come from you. And then as we go into Psalms 4 and 8, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And it says this, Jesus once slept soundly on a boat. He sure did. Slept soundly on the boat that pitched and rolled wildly in a storm of sea. Why? Out of exhaustion? No, because he knew the Lord would keep him. Save God wants Jesus' kind of confidence to take root in us. You know, I have slept through storms. And somebody said, ooh, it sure did rain last night. And I didn't hear a thing. Didn't know it rained. Didn't know anything happened because I was sleeping good. You know, God will give you peaceful rest. You know, there have been many times that I have just had peace. You know, last week, my granddaughter came home for the, well, 2 weeks for Christmas, New Year's. And so New Year's, we took her to the airport to catch a plane home. And Lord have mercy. I just texted before I went to sleep and said, let me know when you get home, and praying for your safety and knowing that God has you covered. And I believed everything I wrote because I know that God had her covered. I didn't know that her plane was going to be delayed by 2 hours. So she was supposed to get home, well, actually 3 hours because she was supposed to be home by 11. She didn't get home until 2 in the morning. But she got home safely. Because when you put your loved ones in the arms of God, you don't worry. You go to sleep. You don't worry about the storms raging outside. You go to sleep. Just like Jesus did. Just like Paul did. Just like even, don't get me started. Mr. Jonah did. Sleeping soundly as the boat's tossing and turning because he's on his way not to Nineveh. He's on the opposite direction, going away from Nineveh when he knew that was his assignment. But he still slept soundly. Jesus slept soundly. Paul was sleeping soundly. But understand, when you know that God has got you covered, you don't worry. Even when you're not doing right, because Jonah wasn't doing right, but he still was sleeping. Jesus knew his daddy had him. And we got to know our Father has us too. And he goes on to say, peace with God in the fruit of oneness with God. Psalm 4:8. It says, every now and then we do well to take stock of our situation. And we all have our situations that we are dealing with. And we know in this word that David was dealing with Saul. And David got sick and tired of being sick and tired of Saul chasing him down. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. He says the answer is found in a close, abiding relationship. And he goes, well, how do we maintain a sense of peace and spiritual balance when trials strike? The answer is found in a close, abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. The word of Helen Lemel's classic hymn, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, contains a vital and exciting truth. An unshakable peace is available to all who turn the eyes of their hearts to Jesus. And that's what we must do today, turn our hearts to the Lord. And I love this word, it's one of my highlightables, and that is Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is a highlightable. You need to put that in your arsenal of words. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Highlightable. And then Dr. Stanley even goes over. He says, at one of the most difficult points in his life, David wrote the 91st Psalm, which begins, he who dwells in the secret place, oh, I love that psalm, of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Again, we don't worry, we pray, hallelujah, thanking God for this word this morning. Ooh, we got to stop worrying. We got to start praying. And let's get in our New Testament word. There is more, but I do not want to run out of time because the New Testament word is the word that, this word just does something to my spirit. The Lord knows all your needs. What did we say just a few moments ago? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. The Lord knows all your needs. Don't worry. Just pray. That's the word God gave me this morning. Don't worry. Just pray. Don't worry. Already knows everything you need and more than you could ask for. Don't worry. Just pray. Don't worry. Just pray. As we go through this day, I'll need to worry. The Lord knows my needs. I'm gonna be anxious for nothing. Come on now. And as we get into the word that God gave us in Matthew 6, my very first sermon that I ever preached was from Matthew 6, the Father's Prayer. And this is what it says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue. Jesus is speaking to us this morning. And it says in 6 of Matthew, And it goes on to tell us, it says, I'm going to say it one more time. Verse number 2, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the street, so they may be seen. By men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him in this manner. Therefore, pray. What did it say? The Lord Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. The Lord knows all your needs. Don't worry. Just pray. Hallelujah. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And understand that when we learn the prayer, we learn, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us, in the place of forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That came later. That's not what the Word of God says. It says forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then it tells us in verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So the word has been changed, and we learned. I learned it just like everybody else. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And don't tell me that I'm not saying it right. But I went, and I'd like for you guys to join me as we go to the King James Version. Because, you know, when I was studying this word, I always said, well, maybe it's like that in King James, and that's why everybody says it that way. But let's go to King James, Matthew chapter 6. And in King James, get my King James out here. And in King James, it says this. Again, and it says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14, But if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So it's the same in King James. Somebody decided they like trespasses better in place of debt. But it is for a purpose. And when I did study on this word, what I found is that it was written debt because it is the debt of sin that we are asking forgiveness from, the debt of sin. And when we ask that in the name of Jesus, forgive us our debt of sin as we forgive those that have sinned against us. That's what it's about. And so, again, it's yes, it could be trespasses. But when we say it, we got to say it the way it is written in the Word of God. We are not to add to or take from. But then it goes on to tell us, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrite with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. And surely I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. You don't have to look all hot mess because you fasted. When you fast, you're supposed to be looking your best. Nobody needs to know that you fasted. And if you want them to know that you fasted, you want them to know you're fasting so they'll join with you and so they will give you an accountability partner. Because, you know, when you fast, God sends accountability to you. When you say, Lord, I'm giving up such and such, and I have given up some things that I have been fasting for years, and I'm saying that for years, I have fasted from some stuff that I really like. But the prayers that I prayed for that thing has not happened. So I still have given up what I gave up. But we need to understand that we don't have to be all falling out, face looking gray. No, you drink your water, you eat your fruit, you eat your vegetables, you got your nuts, you got your stuff, and you fast. Because it's the right thing to do. Sometimes you just got to get cleaned out, and fasting helps you do that. Sometimes you just need to go into that place where you can get yourself together. Because some, including me, we can be something else. But God wants us to be the best we can be. And when we pray, we're not praying falsely. We're praying to God, and we're going to pray the Father's Prayer one more time. And I'm coming out of New King James again. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory from forever. Amen. And when I first started studying the Lord's Prayer or the Father's Prayer, I found a book, and it was called Hebrew Matthew. And I can only say, wow. I'm looking to see if I can find what I'm wanting to teach. His Will Be Done was the title of my first sermon. You know, so many times we want our will to be done. You know, we want to do it our way. We want to go our direction. But we can't. We got to go in the direction that God sends us in. And sometimes when God sends you in a direction, you're like, okay, God, why am I going this way? What are you trying to do? But God wants us to know who he is and that it is not about me. It's not about you. It is about the Lord. God's will is going to be done. His prayer should be prayed. He is our Father in heaven. And he is the Lord. He is our Father. He loves us. And he loves me, he loves you, he loves all of us. And he wants us to be the best that we can be. He wants us to love our brothers and our sisters. He wants us to know that in him, all things are possible. He wants us to know that we are loved by him and that he loves us more than anything. And we just have to love ourselves and love. We got to love ourselves and love each other as our Father God loved us. He loves us. And he wants what's best for us. Things. He wants what's best for us. He wants you to know that you are special. And as we go back into our word this morning, in Matthew chapter 6, it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And I can tell you this. I just had an eye exam not too long ago. And one of the things that the doctor did is they go in and they look in your eyes. And through your eyes, they can tell that you got high blood pressure. They can tell if you got diabetes. They can tell if you got some kind of thing going on, like a tumor or something. They can see all of that in your eyes. The eye pressure, they check all of that stuff. And they can look in your eyes and see if you have other health concerns. They can see it in your eyes. And that always brings me back to the word. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. But either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve two gods. You can't serve God and man. You can't serve God and money. You can't serve God in stuff. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Come on now. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valued than they? Which of you is worrying can add one cubit to his stature? This is where our title comes from this morning. Come on now. And it goes on to say, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. The Lord knows everything you need. We don't have to worry. We just pray. And it goes on to say, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Today is its own trouble. Ain't no, as the song say, ain't no need of worrying about what tomorrow's going to bring. Everything's going to be all right. We got to stop worrying about everything. And what he said, she said, woo-woo said, they said. We got to trust in the Lord. This word, this Matthew 6 word, is a meditation word. We got to study it and meditate on it. It teaches you how to pray. It lets you know that the Lord is a provider, that you don't have to worry about anything. All you got to do is trust in the Lord, because the Lord already knows what you need. And he knows when you need it, and he will provide when you have faith. That mustard seed faith, that God will provide. Quit worrying and just pray. Hallelujah. And I'm not just speaking to you. I'm talking to me too. Because there are times I just admit that I have worried and forgot to pray. And then I had to go back and repent and say, forgive me, Father. Please forgive me. As I put this situation in your loving hands, because I know that you love me. Matthew chapter 7. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. You know, folks love to tell you what you need to do. That you need to do this and you need to do that. And you looking and you saying, how are you going to tell me what to do? When your stuff is worse than mine. When your life is worse than mine. I call it the if it was me crowd. If it was me, I would. Well, it's not you. You do what you got to do. And let me do what God tells me to do. And then you, looking at yourself, then I can't tell you what to do. You got to do what God tells you to do. Because I'm not you and you're not me. I have no hell to put you in and I have no heaven to send you to. You have no hell to put me in and you have no heaven to send me to. We all are God's children. But the word is what we stand on. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under the feet, under their feet, and turn and tear you in pieces. Come on now, the word of God. I'm going to say that one more time. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. You wonder why folks go through some stuff, because they done given themselves to the dogs, gave themselves to the dog and to the pigs, and wonder why they're getting the mess beat out of them. Because you gave what was good and kind and great from God. You gave to a nothing to the dogs. And it says also in the word, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. I'm going to read that again. It is that do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Therefore, whatever those who ask him, therefore, whatever you want the men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate. And we talk about this all the time. We want to get through that narrow gate. And it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. You don't want to go through the big gate. You want to get through that small one. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. The word of God gives us everything we need. But inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these things of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house, I love this word, on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on their house, on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, will he be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these things that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Again, the word of God gets us through. When you're having those times in your life, where do you go? You go through the word of God. God tells us to go to his word, because you know in his words, he's told us in chapter 6, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And I love what Dr. Stanley says. He says, what do you think about most throughout the day? What gets your heart beating fastest and loudest? What do you think you couldn't live without? Whatever it is, it's your treasure, and nothing but God is worthy of it. If you think about the Lord all day, that's where your treasure is. If you have your moments where you just decide, get a pep in your step and a song in your heart. When I'm at work, I talk to God all day long. I do my work, and as I'm working, I'm thinking and just talking to God, having conversations, and learning how to listen. That's the biggest thing that we forget to do, is we pray and pray and pray and worry and worry. But again, what do we say on here? The Lord knows all your needs. You don't have to worry. Just pray. Don't worry. Just pray. And it goes on to tell us in verse 24 of chapter 6, no one can serve two masters. Too many of us try to serve two masters, God and work, God and bank accounts, God and family. But Jesus says this is impossible, for two masters inevitably give contradictory demands. Who will you serve? I have that Joshua word in my heart. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he's asked, he said, choose you this day who you will serve. We got to choose who we will serve. Will you serve man or will you serve God? Matthew 6 and 32, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. That's our title for the day. The Lord knows all that you need. He knows when you need healing. He knows when you need help. He knows whatever it is, God knows. The Lord knows all your needs. Don't worry, just pray. God doesn't tell us to stop worrying over food and shelter and clothing because we don't really need them. He knows we need them. We can stop worrying because he has promised to take care of the essentials. And I'm going to read that again. God doesn't tell us to stop worrying over food and shelter and clothing because we don't really need them. He knows we need them. We can stop worrying because he has promised to take care of the essentials. And I'm like not quite feeling that, but I know that we don't have to worry about what we're going to eat. God provides it. We don't have to worry about what we're going to put on. God provides it. We don't have to worry about where we're going to sleep. God provides it. When you stop worrying and start praying, God provides everything you need because he already knows what they are, and he will give it to us according to his riches and glory. All we got to do is ask. So many times we have not because we ask not. God didn't design us to be anxious or nervous. And I'm speaking from being a nervous child. I was a nervous little girl. Would get nerves and would get just get the scratching. Get highs. Until I learned trust God. And that comes from going to Sunday school. That comes from learning God's word, that you don't have to worry, you just pray. That God provides all your needs. And I can honestly attest that everything I've ever needed, God has provided. And then God tells us in chapter 7 to quit being judgmental. Quit judging everything and everybody. Always got an opinion on everybody's life when you need to be worrying about your own. Not worrying, but praying about your own. How can I tell you about your speck when I got that big old huge plank hanging out of my own eye? And this is what it tells us in the word of God. With what judgment you judge, you will be judged. Understand, as I said, in judgment of you, God's going to judge me in the same way. And I love this, what Dr. Stanley said, living by this simple guideline will eliminate the vast majority of the squabbles and conflicts we endure. When we want to be judged by the standards we judge others, do we demand grace but never give mercy? Come on now. My mother, she said, our pastor said, and I say this to you, if you mind your business for 6 months and mind your business for 6 more months, just imagine, you done minded your business the whole year. So we don't need to be minding anybody else's business. We need to mind our own. And I love this word in 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. We must get it out of our heads that God is stingy or miserly or tight-fisted with his grace and goodness. He delights in sharing us with good things, but we have to present him with our request. You have not because you ask not. We got to start asking for what we need because God already knows it, but we got to learn how to pray. Matthew 7:21, and it says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Willingly and eager obedience is the hallmark of someone who has truly come to faith in Jesus Christ. They obey not because they want to earn God's favor, but because they feel it delights. They feel delighted already to have received it. Thank you, Lord, for this word this morning. And before we get out of here today, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word from our sister this morning before we leave is this. And we'll go back to yesterday's word, which was also a good word. On this beautiful day, may God take care of all your needs. Touch your life with joy and contentment. Bless your heart with love and faith. Comfort your soul with inner peace and grant you good health now and forever. Always, amen. God is good all the time. And for this morning, he who heeds the word wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Proverbs 16:20. And again, as we wrap it up this morning, the Lord knows all your needs. Don't worry. Just pray. For those that needed a title for this morning's word, thank you so much, family. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord. It is a wrap. Be blessed, family. And join me tomorrow morning as we move forward in the word. And again, church announcement, there will not be a show on Tuesday. Thank you so much and be blessed. It's a wrap.